Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, and welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And of course, we are Father's Day weekend. So wishing everybody a Father's Day. Happy, happy Father's Day, whether you are, you know, wherever you are in the world in your life right now. I'm so grateful to have my dad. He is going to be out here and 91 amazing years. So I am blessed to have him. So if you have a father wherever you are, and just make sure that you're calling them and letting them know how grateful you are for them being in your life. So, of course, thank you for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. For those that are just tuning in, I do want to remind you that you can stream us on our station right here at kvta.com. You can also download our podcast. And that is the Kim Pagano Show. And, of course, we talk about the brighter side of life. So we hope that whoever is tuning in, you get some kind of uplifting message that we are sharing. And, of course, I love to start our show with something uplifting. And today's is every day is an opportunity for growth and new beginnings. And I hope that you really just take that to heart. It's like you open your eyes and it's a clean slate. And how do you start your day in a positive way? With that, I do want to say that we have an incredible husband and wife, and they are the founders of Carolina Hemp Hut, and they are going to talk to us today about the top five mental and physical health benefits of CBD oil. And many of us are really confused by this. We, at first, it was kind of a hush, hush. And then you start seeing it in all of the drug stores and pharmacies, and people were talking about it and how it actually helps with pain relief and acne reduction and anxiety and depression. So today we're going to kind of just talk about it and dive in a little bit. So Dave and Mary, welcome. And thank you so much for being here.
It is our pleasure to be on your show today. And thank you for having us.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about how you got started and, of course, how you really opened up your place, the Hemp Hut.
Well, it all started with Dave when he had a recurrence of a brain tumor back in 2010. It was traumatic. And because it was such a rare tumor, it's an intracranial melanoma without a primary on the outside of the body, the doctors really didn't know how to treat it, you know, whether they should do chemo and radiation and things like that. And they opted to just have it removed and keep their fingers crossed that this tumor would not come back again. But in the meantime, I started doing some research into holistic methods to help Dave. And I came across, you know, good nutrition and supplements, but I also came across cannabis because cannabis, according to research, causes what's called apoptosis, which is cancer cell death, and, of course, many other benefits that come along with cannabis. So at that time, we live in North Carolina. Medical marijuana is still not legal here, but we kind of kept that in the back of our heads. Okay, this is a potential thing to utilize for him in the future. So that's how we got started. It was all because of Dave and the research that we did. And then when we found out that CBD was legal in all 50 states back in 2017, I got very excited. And we started using it ourselves and giving it to our children and our family, other family members and friends, and everybody received some type of benefit from the CBD.
Really? And so how does, okay, let's just kind of dive in. How does CBD oil work to alleviate pain and reduce acne and whatever, you know, else that you guys have discovered with this?
Well, as far as pain is concerned, it does have analgesic properties. And I'll actually let you talk with Dave because he actually battles.
Perfect. Hi, Dave.
Howdy. Okay, well, it's a pleasure to be here on the show today. And Mary is dead on with this. CBD is something awesome for pain. We use, in our shops, we have stores in North Carolina, and we sell across the U.S. And in the shop, we have big area functional areas that we address, which can be the pain relief, stress and anxiety, better sleep, the anti-inflammatory benefits in general, and CBD is a tremendous neuroprotective. So we like to target all those areas in our stores, and with pain being the number one, it's kind of an easy sell. People come in all the time, and they'll say that they're trying to get away from using oxycodone or whatever it is that they may have in their pharmaceutical repertoire. They try to get away from that, and they try to do more natural means. And that just opens the door for us because we can introduce to them diet changes that we suggest or things that they can eliminate from their diet that are inflammatory and stuff like that. But we also recommend CBD, which helps and it has been proven in many studies to reduce inflammation. Now, inflammation is the precursor to all the pain. So if there's no inflammation or the inflammation goes down, pain goes down. So that's an easy one for most people, but getting rid of that inflammation is a tough one, and it requires a concerted effort.
Yeah, definitely. Now, and how are you doing?
I have an interesting medical history, and as Mary said, after they finished removing the tumor another time, then they decided to stick me in an X-ray. And zapped me with that. That caused a lot more problems. And with my type of tumor, I'm not even supposed to be around anymore, which gives me pause to say I'm truly blessed.
But absolutely.
With my type of tumor, they really don't know what to do next. So they keep tossing out ideas and say maybe this, maybe that, because there's not really a track history for my cancer.
Right.
Unlike things like leukemia and others that have a lot of people that's gone through trials and other testing. With me, I am the test. And lately, I've been experiencing chronic pain because of issues from the radiation, but it's been easier to manage with just plain CBD. And when I tell people if you add just a little bit of the full spectrum, which is just a little bit of THC, it gives the additional analgesic qualities that are necessary, and people often will pick up a bottle of CBD and say, well, I took three drops, and I'm like, oh my gosh, no, three drops is not what I'm talking about. You should do a full dropper at least.
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to ask you. Like how much are you taking and how much there's different strengths, first of all, correct? And I kind of want to make sure that our listeners right now, like you definitely need to be guided through this, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And the important thing to keep in mind is it is a botanical product. If it's a clean CBD, it's going to be a botanical product. It's like going to the local farm and garden store or whatever it is and pick up a couple of bunches of oranges and say, I'm taking my vitamin C. Well, yeah, you are taking your vitamin C, but you're getting it in a different format than other people from the pill. So how much you take is going to be varying all the time. So
correct.
With a botanical, you really have to start from the low end, and we tell people start low and go slow. You don't want to jump in and take 50 milligrams of CBD. We suggest people starting out with 20 milligrams of CBD or 30 milligrams, somewhere under 50 milligrams, and then ease up slowly after every couple or several days just to see how your body reacts to it. Because the common, what I would call direct effects, not side effects, because if you hide things as side effects, you tend to ignore them. These are direct effects. CBD may make you tired. CBD may make you a little dehydrated. CBD may calm you down. There's a lot of things that it is known to do, and just keep in mind, it's probably going to do some of those things.
Right, exactly. So let me ask you, I mean, there's a lot of people that, especially after the pandemic, the stress and depression and all that, how does that work with the CBD?
Well, when the pandemic started, we saw an influx of people coming in with anxiety issues, depression issues, because they were isolated and they didn't know how to treat themselves because
social
isolation and everything. It was just
right.
It was sad. And it's actually not that uncommon, but there was a very strong uptick in people requesting CBD to help them with their nerves. And
mm-hmm.
because CBD does, it's cannabis, and it passes the blood-brain barrier, and we have what's called an ECS, an endocannabinoid system that works with phytocannabinoids. This is an amazing herb, a botanical that works with your body.
Right. Do you take it too, Mary?
Oh, yes, every day. I take it for sleep.
Okay, and does it knock you out, or does it just calm you down so that you can get that sleep, or do you wake up groggy? Lots of questions there.
I know. So here's what my situation is. I have the gerbil in the wheel situation. My brain will not relax.
I got that same one. I think it's funny, years ago I thought it was really good. I was like, yes, I just keep thinking. And now as I'm a little older, I'm like, oh my God, I need to rest my head, you know.
Yep. So that's my type of sleep issue. And when I take CBD, it just calms my brain. And it's funny because it's almost like you don't really feel the impact. It's just like you're feeling normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it calms my brain. I'm able to fall asleep and stay asleep. And when I wake up, because it does regulate your circadian rhythm, I feel very refreshed, very energized. And because it is an adaptogenic herb, if I take a dose in the morning, I feel even more energized, because that's what it does. It regulates the system in your body so that you have energy during the daytime and you have relaxation at night. So, yeah, that is my situation with the gerbil in the wheel. There are other types of insomnia, but and we can help with that as well. You can take some CBN, for example, which works really well with CBD, and some CBC, a nice little cocktail there for your specific needs, and then you're off to a great start.
Okay, perfect. So let me ask you, there's limited research available, right? So what potential do you see for CBD oil in the treating neurological disorders such as epilepsy, Parkinson's disease? And, you know, I mean, just it could help so many different places, but we, you know, it's almost like taking a chance at the same time, correct?
Well, if you're going to compare it to a pharmaceutical, the chances that you're taking is quite minimal. Like Dave mentioned, you may get a little dry mouth, you may get a little tired-like feeling, kind of relaxed feeling. But because CBD, according to studies, now we read a lot, and we go to PubMed and Google Scholar and other places, medical articles to read up on. We don't want to just rely on anecdotal stuff only. But CBD does pass the blood-brain barrier. It is a neuroprotectant, and so it helps with anything neurological. And I can tell you from experience with all of the thousands of customers that we've spoken to and treat every day, is anything from ADD, ADHD, PTSD, insomnia, Tourette's, epilepsy, absolutely. All of those, I've seen those just either go away completely or diminished considerably. Dosing is an issue. It does play into whatever, you know, issues you're having. But, yeah, we've seen nothing but positive effects.
And you also talk about heart health benefits, right? And, you know, meaning like reducing blood pressure and preventing health damage, or heart damage, rather. Talk to us about that.
Well, because it is an adaptogenic herb, it puts your body into homeostasis, which means balance. It makes your body function better. So, for example, if your blood sugar is too high, it'll try to lower it to be balanced. If your blood sugar is too low, it'll try to raise it to be more balanced. And I believe Dave actually recently spoke with a gentleman. How did you help him? Do you want to tell that story real quick?
Oh, yeah. There was a gentleman who stopped by one of our dispensaries and was asking us questions about how to essentially maintain his blood pressure because he was being forced by his care provider to take a blood pressure medicine that he didn't want to take. And I said, well, you can work with it with diet and maybe a little bit of cannabis and just keep it light on the cannabis. And he went through a little higher dose buildup of CBD and he changed his diet, the two together, made it so that it was really easy for him to improve his heart health right away. And this was within days, because all he really did was change his diet slightly and add CBD.
I love it. Well, again, Dave and Mary, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. How do my listeners find out more about you?
Well, we have a website. It's Carolina Hemp Hut, Carolina, HEMPHUT.com.
Okay, perfect. Well, please share our show with everyone. I thank you so much for being a guest here. And download our podcast so you can share us, too. And thank you so much. I appreciate it. And Dave, the best to you and Mary.
Thank you so much. We enjoyed being on your show.
You got it. All right, take care. All right, we are going to take a really quick break and hear from all of our sponsors right now. And but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Vincent Jenna, and we are going to be talking about, his book, The Secret That's Holding You Back. But not only that, since it's Father's Day, we're going to really talk about our fathers just as intuitive as mothers when it comes to their kids. And so, again, stay with us. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
Wow! I feel good.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out SurvivalSwimWithKim.com. That's SurvivalSwimWithKim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Did you know anger management is available to you? Do you live with stress every day? Are you driving, feeling stressed, possibly speeding? There are stress management techniques available to you to help you reduce stress and the risk of a court-ordered anger management class. TNT Anger Management Services can help you. The consultation is free. Call TNT today, not tomorrow, at 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to their website at tntams.com. That's tntams.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
The Kim Pagano Show is proud to partner with the eWomen Network as they continue to help millions of women entrepreneurs achieve their goal of $1 million in annual revenue. The eWomen Network accelerated events take place the first Wednesday of each month at the beautiful Los Robles Greens in Thousand Oaks. The event will include lunch with wonderful speakers talking about relevant topics for your business and many opportunities to network with potential clients and make connections. Come join the fun and elevate your business. The eWomen Network only requires one lifetime membership fee and a monthly fee to stay active on their website. Come find out how the eWomen Network is different than the other networking groups. Apply now on their website at
eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665. That's eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for choosing our hour to be here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, it's all about the brighter side of life. I do want to remind you to make sure that you call in to get our newsletter so you can find out about all of our amazing guests. And you can also go to our website, kimpaganoshow.com, and sign up there. And also friend us throughout our socials so that you can get some amazing tips every day. And again, we thank you so much for being here. I do want to introduce our next guest, Vincent Jenna, and he is a psychic, a therapist, a medium, a spiritual teacher, and is an author, and aims to answer all those crazy questions that we have. And I love this. Is mother's intuition real? Yes, I definitely feel it. But we're going to find out if do fathers have it too. Vincent, welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Well, Kim, thank you so much for having me. I just knew that we were going to be talking because I am psychic.
Okay, and then I must be really psychic too because I knew that too. But
yes,
you know
what? You are.
So, you're a father, obviously, correct?
Yes, I am. I'm a father of two, a boy and a girl. Yes.
Okay. Well, happy Father's Day.
Thank you. I'm excited about it because my children are doing so incredibly well, and I've got four grandchildren because of them. So I get to celebrate it in two different ways, father and grandfather.
There you go. Me and you know what? It's funny. Okay, so I've got four children that are doing incredibly well, too. And that's really in this world right now. What an accomplishment, you know? And I have four beautiful grandchildren, too. And so I love that. But I love that, you know, I really do believe that fathers do have that intuition, too, because my husband is very intuitive of our children. And we kind of both are, you know, when you're involved with your children and you watch them grow and you help them and you see them and you're a part of their life. It's hard not to be, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You gave the key elements as to why parents are so close and are intuitive because they do care. They do spend a lot of time with their children. And at first, the mothers got all the credit for that because a couple of reasons, Kim. First, biologically, they thought that a mother's intuition came from the fact that she carried the baby. So obviously, they shared some of the same cells and blood, and they figured there was a biological kind of connection going on. They recognized that mothers had this deep intuition. They just knew what was happening with their child and their children, right? So then time went on, and anthropologists and sociologists threw in the theory, no, the reason why mothers have intuition is to preserve the species. So without that intuition, certainly we would not have survived over 11,000 years.
Right.
But they're spending more time and research now because of the fact that there are more single-parent homes today or same-gender parenting. And so they want to know, is the same thing going on with the males and fathers as it was with the females? And the answer to that question, like you just said, is a big yes. Primarily social. If you really think about how we were socialized very early on, where were the mothers and where were the fathers? The mothers were at home with the children. They were raising the children. They were helping the neighbors. The fathers were out. They were working. They were building. They were gathering food, hunting, whatever they had to do. And they were away from the home. So it wasn't that they didn't have the intuition. They didn't need to listen to it as much in regards to the children, because they knew the mothers were now home with the children, right?
And right, so very interesting.
They were,
you're absolutely
yes.
right. And life has changed a lot because there are so many fathers that are mothers now, I would guess you would say, and
yes.
and stay-at-home, right? Stay-at-home parents now.
That's right, stay-at-home parents. I actually did that for both of my children. Before I was a psychotherapist and psychic and medium, I was a professional singer, actor, and dancer. So you know I had a lot of time at home then.
There you go. I love that.
Right. Yes. So
yeah.
I wound up being baby daddy for the first 6 months until we got our children into daycare. So I was very close with my children. And so was, you know, my wife when she was home. And we both had this sense about them. We just knew things that were happening. And that was because, like you said, that caring, that being around them more often. But here's the other side of it that's really important. We have to understand the makeup of the genders to start with. Now, all humans have a left and right brain. Okay, Kim? The right brain consists of traits like your emotions, your creativity, your nurturing side, and your intuitive side. The left brain consists of your intellect, your thinking, your reasoning, your risk-taking, the physical side of you. Now, as we know, women are more dominant right brain and men are more dominant left brain. Not that one was more better than the other, but the reason for that is because women were raising the children. It was absolutely necessary for the female then to be more dominant on that right brain part. And then the men figuring being physical, building the buildings, building the homes, and going out to work or going hunting needed to think more. I mean, as in society today, we can definitely tell that men tend to be stuck in their left brain, which is usually a complaint women have about them. You're so unemotional, or you're not in touch with your emotions, you know, that kind of thing. And then the men will always say to the women, oh, you're over-emotional. You're always about your emotions, right? So that's a funny conflict between them. But everybody needs to understand, what does that have to do then with the intuitive part? Well, if men are going to be more dominant left brain, they're not listening to their intuition as much.
Oh, and that is so true. Yeah, Vincent, that is so true. So, you know, it really, when I'm sitting here listening to you, it really comes from that special bond between the parent
yeah.
and the child. And once you have that, you know, you can start to develop that intuition, that feeling, because you get to know them. And, you know, having two children, or for me, having four children, I always said there was many roads to success. And the one road was learning who they really are and not expecting
right.
them all to be the same. And so that's where that special bond comes.
It does. Absolutely, Kim. That is a perfect way of putting that. And the way children even know that they're cared for and loved is by the attention that they receive. That's how children translate the concept of love and care. Those are ambiguous terms, and children are very concrete. So they don't have the developed mind to be thinking, oh, I know when mom says I love you or dad says I love you, I know exactly what that means. No, they actually connect that with the attention that they're receiving when you do say that, or if you don't say that, they still interpret the attention, positive or negative, as to whether they're lovable or not lovable. So the attention that a parent gives a child not only helps them to develop, the children to develop, but it helps the parents to connect even deeper. And as you connect deeper and care more, you listen more. But here's the interesting part. It's not that you just listen to them. You listen to your own inner voice. How many times do both genders will receive an internal message? And they could be, you know, whatever, even in the conversation or they're going someplace. And the wife turns around and says, I don't feel like going there tonight. I'm just not in the mood to do that for some reason. And the husband's going, well, why not? Come on, we'll have a good time. It'll be fine. That's silly. We'll just go. And after they go, maybe it's a party, and they go to the party, and something happens at the party, and it winds up being a crisis, an issue, a problem, and they're both upset that they were there. And the wife is like, see, I told you that we shouldn't have gone. I knew that. And it's because it's not that the husband wasn't receiving a similar feeling. It's because he's a left brain thinker, that thinking element, that conscious thinking mind tends to talk us out of a lot of things. And what's really interesting is I did write a book, The Secret That's Holding You Back. And in it, it explains why we wind up talking ourselves out of those internal feelings, even when it comes to our children at times. So a connection is very important, just like you say. But the listening part to that internal voice is just as important, Kim, because we can talk ourselves out of those things.
Yeah, and that is our meter, right? Our intuitive meter of what we, you know, it's almost like you get out of your car and you're in a really dark area and you get that like, I don't know if I should be walking right here. Or you go, you know. Did you listen to it or did you not? Now, what's your thought on that?
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Is there are so many people, and there are prime examples of listening to the intuition and not listening to the intuition, that throughout life, even our own personal, you know, errors or mistakes that we made because we didn't listen to that gut feeling that either said, take this job, don't take this job, buy this home, not that home, or date this person, not that person. It we get those messages constantly because that's who we are as beings. First of all, every animal and species on the planet has a level of intuition. Humans happen to have the highest level of intuition because we're a higher vibrational force and frequency. So we receive those messages and it's really messages from our soul, and whether you believe we have a soul or we're not a soul, there's an internal connection that we have to a higher force, a higher knowledge. Carl Jung, who was the excellent student of Sigmund Freud, he actually studied that even deeper. And he believed that the unconscious mind that Sigmund Freud had labeled, Carl Jung labeled as the superconscious mind, where we are connected to a collective unconscious mind. And the reason why he was able to determine that is he would be studying people from one country and asking them certain questions, and then studying people from another country, asking them the same questions about certain things in life, like the term mother and the term father. And he found that each person, no matter where they lived in the world, came up with the exact same answer. So he theorized then, in order for them to come up with the same answer, they must be getting it from the same place. There is where the intuition then lies.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. So first of all, how did you get into this? Okay, I would love to just know the background of this, of how you got started. That's a whole other show, right?
No, it is a whole other show, but really quick. I was the tormented and bullied one in school. Mm-hmm. And there was one guy, he was the super jock and the super class clown. So, of course, that made him the star of the entire school because he was popular in both areas, right? Well, he used to cause the antagonism and my bullying a lot from the jocks. So he was my enemy. But as I continued, as I grew up and I started using my talent as a singer and dancer and an actor, I started to pursue a professional career, and my greatest claim to fame is that I was one of the original singers and dancers in the movie Grease.
Oh, that's awesome. One of my favorite movies.
Yes,
yeah. Thank you.
Right? Yeah, I know. So it became so popular, but it became popular right around the time of my 10-year high school reunion. So my wife and I decided to go. I was already married. We already had a 2.5-year-old child. I felt pretty successful. Plus, I became a little small town superstar, having been in that movie. It was in the newspapers. I was coming to town.
Back and you were all about you, right?
Oh, my gosh. I had a chip on my shoulder, Kim, that I could have built a house with, okay?
There you go.
It was so much, it's a big piece of lumber, not a little chip. But the interesting thing is when I arrived at the reunion, everybody treated me so gloriously. It was like a Cinderella story, They were all surrounding me. And that guy who caused most of my antagonism came up. He gave me a hug. He couldn't let me go. And he sat at my table the entire night, bringing people over. And we became really close friends really quickly. But I knew his life was in great crisis, but he wasn't telling anybody anything. Mm-hmm. I just knew it for some reason. There's that internal feeling, that gut feeling before anything happened. So after spending a weekend with him, my wife and I are driving home. He was living in a townhome in Connecticut, beautiful place, of course. And so I was in tears because my heart was breaking for him.
Right.
And my wife thought I was nuts. She says, "Oh, he's got a gorgeous place, and we don't have that. He's got three
kids. You knew
he's
better,
married."
Right?
And I'm like, no, something's wrong
Something's going on, Vincent, so I want to hear the end of this story, we are at the end of our time. I love your personality. I'd love to have you back.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
How do our listeners get your book and find out more about you?
All you have to do is go to my website at vincentjenna.com. The book is actually also on Amazon in Kindle, in paperback, and in audio. And I recorded the audio. It's so much fun. And it's the secret that's holding you back. And that's how you can connect with me every place and find out the end of my story. That these
All right.
Gifts
I'm going to have you back and we'll talk
me.
About that. Thank you so much. Download our podcast and share our show with everyone. I look forward to having you back. Thank you so much.
Oh, same here, Kim. Take care now.
All
bye-bye.
All right, take care. All right, we are going to just move right on in to our next guest, and thank you so much for being here, so stay with us.
We're going to be talking about most small business owners' concern about potential recession, but feel equipped to endure, and of course, Jill Calabrese Bain is the Managing Director of Small Business at Bank of America and Small Business Expert. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And despite inflation and supply chain issues, most entrepreneurs anticipate revenue growth. And that's what it's all about, is like how, we all are dealt the same cards, but it's how we walk through it. And so, Jill, I'm excited to hear some of the things that you can do to help us.
All right, Kim. Well, I'm thrilled to be here and happy always to talk about our small businesses across the country and in Los Angeles.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you. So what are business owners' expectations for the coming year?
Well, you know, it's really interesting based upon the, you know, the setup that you gave. Business owners have definitely been through a lot of challenges and headwinds over the past, you know, 36 plus months. I mean, we as individuals have faced multiple challenges as we all found ourselves in the midst of a global healthcare crisis. But the good news is that despite the macroeconomic conditions that persist, business owners are feeling more and more confident in their future prospects. And we took a look at a couple of different indicators, one being revenue. And when we surveyed our respondents on a national basis, 66% of those respondents believe that their revenue is going to increase over the next 12 months ago. And this was even more bullish in Los Angeles, where 75% of those business owners felt confident that their businesses would expand revenue in the coming months. And so this is all a good news story, and it's really backed up by the fact that half of those businesses also said they plan to expand, and a third of those businesses said they wanted to hire additional employees. So despite the fact that we've got these economic uncertainties, business owners are down to business. They're doing what they need to do, that which is in their control, to support their clients and support their communities.
I love that, and I love to hear that because, you know, that's what it's all about. Sometimes we, you know, during the pandemic, you saw so many doors closing, and now I think people are like, no, you are not going to get to me. And so let me ask you this. How are the economic concerns, like inflation? I mean, that's a big deal. Things are, like, so much higher than they used to be. Just on a simple anything in your business, and then the supply chains, are the disruptions and the labor shortages, can't find people to really work for you. So what do we do? What are they doing, and how are they handling those?
Yeah, you know, from an economic perspective, there's always going to be an economic concern on the minds of business owners that they don't have any control over, right? But they've got to figure out, how do we actually maneuver and navigate the current environment? And it's really, you know, from a concern perspective, it's anything that's going to impact their day-to-day business or their profitability. And what we're seeing today, based on our respondents and business owners that we talk to, is that it's, you know, number one, as you mentioned, inflation, and number two is recession. And, you know, it's recession over the next 3, 6, 9 months. But importantly, you know, while the majority of business owners said yes, you know, we are concerned about recession, 72% of them said we're concerned, 76% of those business owners actually said, we feel confident that our business can withstand a recession. And in LA, it was 82% of the businesses said that they were able to withstand a recession. So I do believe we and the business owner community have learned a lot coming out of the pandemic. I mean, they had to be super adaptable. To your point, it was overnight, their business models had to change in some cases. And so we saw
100%, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we see, and not by choice, right? I mean, it was either you got to sink or you got to swim. Yeah, and so we see more and more business owners putting in place business plans. Now, a lot of business owners had business plans, but 90-plus percent now have a business plan in place. And what's interesting about that is that half of them say, we're updating our business plan quarterly. So if you think about that, you know, I'm the daughter of a business owner, and, you know, every day it's just, you're putting out the fires in the business. It's every day it's blocking and tackling. And what these business owners have emerged with the perspective of, no, we actually need to take time in our day. We need to take some capacity to think about the future of our business. So half of these businesses are actually updating their business plans quarterly. So they're being very thoughtful, very prepared, very strategic.
Yeah, honestly, Jill, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, I own a couple of businesses myself, and it is, you have to be like looking, it's almost like, you know, you have to be aware of it before your clients or your employees, or, you know, you have to be watching that and be on your guard. So what are some new and emerging technologies that are so important for small businesses? You have to be on your game, and to me, that's your game.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're sharing your experiences, because this kind of helps us think about small business ownership. Yeah. You know, you'll probably agree with this. I mean, technology has always been an important aspect of business management from, you know, the perspective of how can I leverage technology to be more efficient in my day-to-day operations, mm-hmm. and, you know, how do I actually leverage it such that it's helping me to differentiate myself from other business owners. But what we saw additionally coming out of the pandemic over the past 12-plus months is that more and more are embracing digital technologies to help expand their client base. So they're looking at digital or investing in digital marketing strategies. They're investing in their social media presence to really create an awareness and a following around the products and services that they offer and how they operate and support the communities that they're in. So, you know, there's a lot of different technology and operations out there and apps out there. But I think business owners are trying to figure out, okay, what's most meaningful for me? What does it make sense to invest in given some of the challenges that I continue to face?
Yeah, and I think that you just really raised a great point. I think as a business owner, and I am a business coach, is how to work smarter, not harder, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we all want to endure our day. And at the end of the day, if there's so many, you know, apps or different programs, CRMs, that can do some of the work. I mean, yes, it's the work in the front end of putting everybody in. But after that, it's, you know, it's keeping in touch. It's having that personal touch with your clients and letting them know that you're there for them. So I love that. So our last question is, how are business owners investing in staff to help grow and scale their operations for long term?
Yeah, and you probably see this in your management and the coaching that you do. You really can't have a conversation about small business without talking about employment or labor or shortages or challenges. It became more acute during the pandemic. Yeah, I mean, and coming out of it, you know, business owners either, you know, they're either looking and trying to identify skilled talent, you know, skilled talent that will work within their business that aligns to their culture, or two, they're working to manage employee expectations. And so what we're seeing more and more business owners do is take the steps to invest in, number one, kind of a more holistic benefits package. So, you know, traditionally it's physical benefits, but now we're seeing more financial and emotional wellness benefits, importantly. And secondly, they're looking at the current, you know, employment ecosystem, which is how do people want to work these days? And so they're looking at, you know, different types of remote hybrid work strategies, you know, modifying the policies associated with that. They're looking at cost of living. They're looking at investing in training. And so, you know, given that one third of business owners surveyed want to hire more and more are thinking about how do we put plans in place that are going to not only help us attract employees, but keep them for the long term. And for those businesses that have made the step to figure that out, they're saying it's having very, you know, impactful response from employees with respect to both morale and retention. So that's a win. That's a win-win, Kim, I think.
Yeah, and I have to say, I totally agree with you. After the pandemic, things have changed. And, you know, and people, yes, it was a really scary time. But I think we all got a really good check on what we want out of our life and how important life is and family and where you work and who you're connected with. And so people are looking at that. And so they want to have that, you know, honored and respected feeling of being, you know, working for a company. And so to me, you got to take care of them and they'll take care of you. And I think we went really, like, we went further, but we went back to like our old ways and just humanitarian. And I love that. So Jill, I love talking to you. I love this subject. And thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show. How do my listeners find out more about everything we're talking about?
They can go on to bankofamerica.com. They can click on small business, and they will be introduced to a lot of different resources, including education, access to capital. But there's also opportunities, Kim, to make appointments with small business specialists in L.A. and across the country.
Oh, I love that. Everybody should definitely take advantage of this. And thank you again, Jill. Please share our show with everyone. And again, thank you for what you're doing.
Well, that was some really good stuff and some things that we learned there. And let's bring our next guest on.
Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show. And for our listeners, when it comes to postal workers, dogs may not be a man's best friend. We're going to talk to Leanne Tiriol. She is USPS Manager, Employer Safety and Health Awareness. And this is interesting. You know, it's funny. You don't even think about all the, you know, things that all of our jobs, you know, UPS and mailman and all that stuff that they have to go through. But I think it's like our responsibility to make sure that our dogs are appropriate and behaving, right? Or like, you know, you go to a park, you have to have them on a leash. This should kind of be the same thing. So I'm interested to hear what you say, and welcome, Leanne, and thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting the United States Postal Service to give information to the listeners.
You got it. So tell us a little bit, are dogs biting postal workers? And you call them folklore, is that a big problem?
It is a very big problem. Last year, we had over 5,300 postal employees bitten by dogs.
Wow. That's serious. That's a big, did you lose people because of that? Or how do you get that word out? Obviously, that's what we're doing here. So what can they do differently?
So customers can make sure their dogs behave appropriately and are trained to their voice and commands, as well as leashed. We train our employers not only on the onset of their employment with the United States Postal Service, but also throughout their career. We have certain technology, the scanners that the employee, the letter carrier has with them, that will alert them to a dog that may be coming up on their delivery, so that they can start being aware of their surroundings, making sure the dog is either not outside behind a fence or not free roaming and leashed, so that they can make deliveries. We also have technology for the customer who can sign up for informed delivery and know exactly when a package is coming to their home and around the time it is coming to their home, so that they can make sure their dog is leashed or behind closed doors as that employee is delivering the package to their home.
Oh, that's great. And so you're saying these, you know, is it like UPS? They're going up to the door, they're knocking at the door, they open the door and the dog runs out? Or are they being like left out?
Both of those things can happen. We train our employees at the United States Postal Service that if they're at a door, to keep their foot raised so that the door can't come flying open and a dog can come flying out. Their foot is like a doorstop to stop that door from opening.
Got it. Which sometimes could be kind of a little bit scary to a person in a sense, right? I mean, just it's kind of a weird world right now, but I love that. So what can our listeners do, and where do they get all these tips, especially dog owners, correct?
Yes. So they can search on the web, United States Postal Service National Dog Bite Awareness Week, and it'll pop up. They can go directly to USPS.com, and which you'll see the information on National Dog Bite Awareness Week, as well as a blog that we have posted concerning National Dog Bite Awareness Week. And we have social media outlets. If you do hashtag Dog Bite Awareness, there will also be information for customers and employees on dog bite awareness and dog bite prevention.
Let me ask you another question. Has this gotten worse over the years, or has this always been a problem?
It has always been a problem. It's gotten better over the last few years between the technology and the campaign and the different media outlets that we're using to also get the word out about our campaign and about the information for customers and employees.
Wow. And have you, I mean, obviously, you know, you are the manager, but is that where you started as a mail lady?
I did. I started as a letter carrier.
And how, I'm sorry, maybe that's how you call it, the letter carrier. We just know him as mailman, mail lady. What, did you ever have this experience?
I've never been bitten by a dog. I have been chased by a dog who got off of their leash. But we train our employees to use their mail satchel to put in between the dog and yourself to keep them from biting you, as well as the dog repellent, which is a cayenne pepper spray that has been approved by the Humane Society.
Wow, that's great. But it is scary when you have a dog, you know, that's coming at you and you're like, okay, I don't know if they're going to, you know, attack. Or if what, you know, what the personality is like. So I totally can relate to this. Can you let us know for my listeners again where they should go to find out more information? It's really, it's like everybody taking their own responsibility, correct?
Correct. And they can go to USPS.com, searching National Dog Bite Awareness Week, as well as hashtag Dog Bite Awareness.
Leanne, thank you so much for bringing this awareness and safety to all of us. And thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
Thank you, Kim. And thank you for allowing the United States Postal Service to inform listeners and employees.
You got it. All right. Have a great rest of your day and be safe.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining this hour of your morning with us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness. Small acts of kindness can be a ripple effect and make a big difference in your day and someone else's day. Have a really great rest of your weekend. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there, to my husband and to my boys and to my dad. So again, we'll talk to you next week.
Got a pocket full of sunshine.